someone put it this way, to forgive is to set the prisoner free and to discover the prisoner was you. That is a good word. Someone said this, unforgiveness is choosing to stay trapped in a jail cell of bitterness, serving time for someone else's crime.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello and good day, everyone. Let's join Pastor Bill for the conclusion to the message, What Grieves Him Most, as he continues his study from the New Testament epistle of Ephesians.
When I was young, that was a thing to get rid of, you know, and I don't even know why am I going there, Jeff? It doesn't matter. You know, I know why I said that. You just don't become kind. You just, when you're born again, you know, you can be born again one day and you still have a six-pack in your refrigerator. And I'm talking about beer. Do you understand me? So you don't automatically, you're not automatically the Apostle Paul, are you? So you learn because the Holy Spirit is now in you and he is the kindest person in the universe. And you automatically, because he is in you, and you know you're born from above, and you know it's wrong, you know that you should be kind. And you're going, I knew I should have been kind. Why wasn't I kind? Because you're learning to be kind. You're learning to become kind. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is what? Kind. Christianity, love is Christianity in action. Love is a verb, loved one. And what happens is it means that we demonstrate that love. We demonstrate that kindness. The Bible says in Titus 3:3, for we ourselves were, meaning our old man before we were born again, we were foolish, we were disobedient, we were deceived, we were serving various lusts. Literally serving means we were enslaved, various lust pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. Man, what a horrible. Then it says, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. When did the kindness and the love of God appear to you in your life? Before you were born again, when was that moment when the goodness and the love and the kindness of God appeared to you? It was the day that you were born from above. For me, it was a beach in Florida. Do you understand? Oh, the great kindness of God. You know, how can we not be kind one to another? Now, look at the next one. Become tender-hearted. That's a heart of compassion. In other words, a heart that pities others. Remember, the word pity doesn't mean to look at someone, the word pity in the Bible, that is, to look at someone and say, gosh, I feel sorry for you. The word pity in the Bible, like in Proverbs 19:17, he who hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto God, and God will pay back what has been given. So the word pity there doesn't mean to look at someone and just feel sorry for them. It means to do something about their situation. Does that make sense? That is the scripture, by the way, that built Love Never Fails International. That is our foundational scripture. And the more that we have pity upon the poor, the more God gives us. Isn't that amazing? He just keeps going on and on and on and on, and I'm so thankful for that. But the Holy Spirit is so tender. See, a tender heart is opposite of, remember when we learned about the calloused heart, the hard heart, the heart that's past feeling, that's numb, back in Ephesians, what was it, chapter 4? Remember that? No, it's the opposite. We now have a tender heart. And loved one, if you know the Holy Spirit, if you're growing in knowledge in relationship, you'll find that the Holy Spirit is so tender. He is so tender. Matter of fact, remember that the Bible teaches that at Jesus' baptism, that the Holy Spirit descended. That's why that's the symbol right there we use for the Holy Spirit descending upon the church, the dove. He descended in, it says, in bodily form. John the Baptist, he looked and it was the Holy Spirit descending like a dove in bodily form upon the Lord. A dove speaks of deep tenderness and softness. This also means a sacrifice as well. But listen now. He descended in bodily form. Do you know that is the only, to my knowledge in the New Testament, the only manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, in the New Testament? And it was the form of a dove lighting upon him. See, the raven, remember the raven in Noah? Well, the raven always represents the old man, but not the dove. The dove comes back to rest. He stays with the family. Loved one, listen, we are not only to be tender-hearted, but one of the big ones here is we are to be forgiving one another. And so that's one of the big issues and remains a big issue in the church today. You know, Jesus said this in Matthew 18:21. Peter's going to ask Jesus a question. He says, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And Peter's getting ready to be really religious, okay? He goes, up to 7 times, Lord? In other words, surely forgiving other people, there's a limit to how much I can take, right, Lord? And Jesus said, oh yeah, Peter, you're stupid. No, he didn't say that. He said, listen, I don't say to you 7 times, Peter, but 70 times 7, and not 490 times, but it means you always forgive, amen? Listen, why? Because unforgiveness will put you in a prison. It'll put you in a trap. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. That verse, when I first became a Christian, a baby Christian, scared me to death. Because, I mean, here I am. I had a lot of hurt in my life, and I hadn't forgiven those people. And so I'm thinking, I guess I'm not saved. But see, that's not talking about our salvation, our past forgiveness. It's talking about things that you're in your life. Does that make sense? Yeah. Listen, the Bible, remember the man that was committing incest there in Corinthians? And Paul tells, you know, he said, the guy's forgiven. We've forgiven him now. It's over. He's repented because they turned him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. Remember that? So when he comes back and he repents, he gets right. Paul says, don't treat him as an enemy. Treat him as a brother. He says, and then he says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. See, that's what Satan wants to do. When we walk in unforgiveness toward others, the Bible says, we just learned it last Sunday, Ephesians 4:17, give no place, any opportunity, don't open a door for the wicked one. See, he wants to take advantage over you. He wants to say, oh, he didn't forgive that person. Look at him. Oh, man, that is so perfect. He says, you know, see, forgiving others frees us. If we don't forgive others, it imprisons us. And Satan hates forgiveness. He hates love. He, meaning God's love. And he hates us, loved one. No, listen. Jesus knows about forgiveness. He doesn't question the reality of your pain. Boy, when I learned that, I was so thankful. He's not saying, oh, you have to feel it, Bill. You got to feel just, okay. I mean, you know, yes, okay. Did you know that to forgive other people doesn't mean you forget? There's only one who has divine forgetfulness, and that is God. So it doesn't mean that, okay, I feel it. It doesn't mean I'll ever forget it. But here's what it means. To forgive another person means that you release that person to God. Someone put it this way. To forgive is to set the prisoner free and to discover the prisoner was you. That is a good word. Someone said this. Unforgiveness is choosing to stay trapped in a jail cell of bitterness, serving time for someone else's crime. What a great word. Now listen, remember, I've taught this so many times, and I'm sure you know it by heart. Forgiveness is not pardon. Okay, go ahead, do it again. No, that's not it. Forgiveness, this one set me free. Forgiveness is not an emotion. Gosh, I'm so thankful. You know, Jesus said, you don't have to feel like you've forgiven them. Forgiveness, loved one, is obedience. That is something you should never forget. In other words, when you forgive, you're not submitting to the one who hurt you, harmed you, insulted you, crushed you, whatever he did to you, she did to you. No, when you forgive others, you are submitting to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. To not forgive grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Now look at it now. Be kind one another, tender heart, forgiving one another. And here it comes. How do we forgive? Even as, that's very important two words, even as God in Christ forgave you. In other words, we are to freely forgive others as freely as God has forgiven us in Christ. So we have to really say to ourselves, how can we not forgive? Because we're just being obedient to the Lord, not to our emotions or any of those things. The word "even as" is so important there because it means literally just as freely and generously and wholeheartedly as God forgave you, you forgive them. Listen, God only forgives one way. God loves us, but he doesn't forgive us because he loves us. God forgives us only one way, in Christ Jesus. He paid our sin debt, amen? He paid the sin debt of the world. He is the only mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5, it says, "For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He is the only mediator. There are no others." It says, "Who gave himself a ransom for all, testified in due time." The Bible teaches us in John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man can make it to the Father, go to the Father, except by me or through me. There's no other way." Acts 4:12, "There's absolutely no other name given unto man under heaven by which they must be saved except the name of Jesus Christ." Amen? We have that divine truth. So by now you're saying, okay, Bill, we've just gone through these things. So which of these sins grieve the Holy Spirit most? Not forgiving one another, right? No. No, that's not it. There's one thing that we do that grieves the Holy Spirit more than anything else. And I say this with loving tenderness. It is so rampant today in the church. And it's so sad. You see, and you say, well, Bill, okay, then what is it? It's very simple. It's just not being aware of his presence. It grieves him. I mean, it would be like this. Jeff, we're at my house. You're sitting across from me, and I ignore you the entire time. I don't talk to you. I don't serve you coffee. I don't give you anything. You just sit there, and I pretend that you're not even there. You don't even exist. Does that make sense? That grieves the Holy Spirit of God more than anything else. Living your life as if he is not in you and if he is not with you. It grieves the Holy Spirit for you to know about him but not know him. Remember the communion of the fellowship, Paul told the Corinthians, that intimacy, that knowing one another, loving one another, listening and talking and being guided by. That's what this means. It grieves the Holy Spirit when we are dependent only on self and not dependent on the Spirit of God. Listen, the Holy Spirit will never lead us astray. He will never lead us to sin. He will never lead us in a place that we should not be. Amen? He's the most important person in our hearts and in our lives right now. He is the Holy Spirit. His ways are perfect. You know, for a church or for a Christian to live their entire life without any dependence upon the Holy Spirit of God is terrifying. It's terrifying. Today, much of the church has taken over the job of the Holy Spirit. I encourage you to study the book of Acts again. Go to Acts chapter 13. That is the first five verses. If you really study those out, it'll blow you away. You know who started the mission movement that was on Paul's first missionary trip? Who was it? It was when Barnabas and Paul, who chose Barnabas and Paul and sent them out? The Holy Spirit. Who called Barnabas and Paul? The Holy Spirit. Not a mission board. Not the church. The Holy Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit, the early church, they were dependent upon the Holy Spirit for everything. Whenever you give the Holy Spirit the right place in your life, we, the church, when they do that, we become Christ upon this planet to this lost world. No, listen. You know, today, much of the church has taken over the job of the Holy Spirit. True Christianity is always the activity of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. A.W. Tozer said this. He says, if God were to take the Holy Spirit out of the world, much of what the church is doing would go right on, and nobody would even know the difference. We have so much in human resources available to the church today that we manage to serve the Lord without the unction of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Now listen, see, we have a building. You can look like a church building. Amen. You can have a pastor. You can have a praise band. You can be on the radio. We can be live streaming all over the world. And yet we could not even being led by the Spirit of God. Do you see how important that is to acknowledge Him every day? He's aware. I talk to Him all the time. He hasn't been talking back lately, but I talk to Him all of the time. Jesus said this in John 14, 16, I pray to the Father, He will give you another helper, and He may abide with you, para, alongside, abide with you. And Jesus said, forever, not just a year, forever. The word, when Jesus said, and I'll send you another, He said, that meant another just like me or equal to me. The Holy Spirit has been called the Lord's other self. Listen now, in John chapter 20, verse 22, remember, and Jesus, He says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Remember that? He told His disciples in John 20, 22. And then what did Jesus do? He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Loved one, listen to me now. The Holy Spirit is the breath of Jesus Christ. Man, we are such a blessed people. He is so with us. He is with us right this minute. He is the divine helper. Let me give you the names. Divine helper, comforter, counselor, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, para, alongside, cleat, or kaleo, alongside, to help or assist. Jesus said, oh, the Spirit of truth, meaning the divine helper, the Spirit of truth. All truth comes from the Holy Spirit of God, whom the world cannot welcome or receive because it neither sees Him or knows Him, but you know Him. Here it comes now. Jesus said, for He, the Holy Spirit, is a person. For He dwells with you and will be in you, E-N, not upon you. They're in you. And I will not leave you orphans. I'll not leave you helpless. Listen to what Jesus said. Because Jesus is going away. Remember, He was telling, I'm leaving you. My physical presence is going to leave you. He says, but I will come to you. Jesus, I will presence myself to you in the person of the Holy Spirit. I will come to you after I die on the cross, after I'm buried, after I'm resurrected, after I'm ascended. Remember, He poured out the Holy Spirit, not in them, but upon them. Why? Because you and I, listen now, we cannot live the Christian life without Jesus. You can't do it. What did Paul the Apostle say? It is no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. In the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave Himself for me. No, listen. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is what? Christ, and to die is gain. Jesus said in John 6:63, it says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh prospers nothing. Now listen, we are either going to live in the power of the Spirit or the power of the flesh. Without the Spirit of God, we cannot have 1 ounce of Christ-likeness in our heart, not or His love or any of those things. We can't manifest that without the Holy Spirit of God. Without the Holy Spirit of God, we'll never have the assurance that we're a child of God. Remember in the book of Romans, it says that His Spirit bears witness with our spirits, that whereby we cry out, Abba, Father, that we are the children of God. No, it's without the Holy Spirit, you know what? You'll never really be able to pray the right way. All true prayer is activated by the Holy Spirit of God. Remember, it says in Romans, it says, we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray. But the Holy Spirit, He helps us with our weaknesses. Amen? Yeah, He says, we don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit, now listen, the Spirit Himself that's in us makes intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now listen to me. That is the Holy Spirit praying in you and through you to God. Are you listening to me? Now, did you get that? God praying to God. When you think about, did that make sense? It's God praying to God in you. Why? For the perfect will. Only He knows, only the Spirit knows the mind of the Father. Do you understand? Oh, how we need that in our life. You have, I have. We have the greatest friend, the greatest prayer partner in the universe, who will never leave us, who will never, ever forsake us. And if you don't know Him, how can you be aware of His feelings? How can you know how He feels? if you don't know him, if you don't get into the Word of God, if you're not aware of his presence, you're not aware of anything in your life, really. You have to practice. You've heard me say it 1,000 times. Practice awareness. He's here right now, right this minute. He is here. You cannot be led by someone that you're not intimate with and that you do not know. Oh, listen, God is so good. And somebody's going, oh, Bill, I thought this was a Father's Day message. I haven't heard anything about fathers yet. Well, I know, but it is a Father's Day message. One of the greatest things that a father, if you are a father, say a young father, that you can do is leave something behind for your children, you know, like a legacy. You're going to depart this life one day. But when you do, what you leave behind for your children doesn't die. It stays with them. Do you understand? You know, I know that, you know, you want the legacy, your legacy, to live on the lives of your children. Who doesn't? What are your kids going to remember about you? Man, Dad, we watched video games together. Great. You know, we went, I'll never forget our vacations. Or you know, he spent time with me, and we had so much fun. And those are all wonderful things. But I'm going to tell you something, Christian father, all Christians, the greatest legacy that you can leave your child is for your child to say about you, my dad knew the Holy Spirit. My dad walked in the Spirit. My father was led by the Spirit. My father was full of the Holy Spirit, and he taught me how to follow the Holy Spirit of God. That is the greatest thing a father can do. I want to leave you guys with something, and I want you to do a study. Listen, go through the whole Bible. Do you know there's over 25 different names for the Holy Spirit in the Bible? And each one of them, study them in context and find out why and what the situation is, and you'll learn more about the Holy Spirit than you can ever imagine. Just let me give you a few of them, just a few. In other words, of course, the Spirit, that means the wind, the breath, or the Spirit of God, or the Holy Spirit. How about this one? The Spirit of the living God, Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Christ Jesus. Here comes another one, the Spirit of His Son, the Holy Spirit of promise, the Spirit of holiness. That is a great study. Study that one out, the Spirit of holiness. The Spirit of truth, the oil of gladness, all there in the New Testament. The Spirit of life, Spirit of grace, Spirit of glory, the eternal Spirit. And one of my favorites, the Comforter, the one, the Parakletos, the one who comes alongside me because I need help. I need power from up on high. The one who will lead me into all truth and help me and assist me when my head is hanging down and pick it back up. That's what every Christian needs. He is our ever truest, perfect friend. Do you know him? Do you know him? This nation is in trouble, and it's time for the church. They must be led by the Spirit again. Gosh, I could spend another hour just with you right now. There's so much I want to talk to you about. Things that are coming, things that are happening. Do not stick your head in the sand, Christian. Stick your head in the book. Amen. Ask God to say, Lord, tell me what's happening. What's coming? Father, we praise you for the day. I just love you. I just thank you. I am so grateful that we are saved and that the Holy Spirit is with us. We're never going to be helpless. We're never going to be orphans. We have the perfect, truest, ever-present friend that anyone could ever have. And for that, Father, we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. All saints. Amen.
On Love Never Fails Tomorrow, Pastor Bill continues his study in Ephesians with the message titled, The Believer's Lifestyle. And we look forward to seeing you once again. We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our 3 services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.